Hello, welcome to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fojo. He is a voice called to restore the dignity of humanity, to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the true identity of Christ in us, to raise and build people of absolute dominion, to raise a fearless generation, to bring salvation to the unsaved, revival to the brokenhearted, liberate men from captivity, to reveal the absoluteness of the Holy Ghost, to break the walls of denominization and bring about unity in the body of Christ across the continent. And now, today's message.
Destiny. The book of Ecclesiastes, the chapter number 6, the verse number 10. Those of you who come to church with our Bibles, how do you concentrate? God is good. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 10. At least, you are either with an iPad or with a phone pad. Or with the Bible itself. Now, I'll be glad if you could get me this version. Get me this in the NIV. We'll do three versions today. Tonight will be good. Whatever exists has already been named. And what a man has been known, no man can contend with one who is stronger than he. Get me this in the MSG, please. God, help us today. Whatever happens, happens. Its destiny is fixed. You can't argue with fate. Okay, give me the AMP, please. The Amplified Version. Lord, help us. Whatever man is, he has been named that long ago. And it is known that it is a man, Adam, nor can he contend with him who is mightier than he, whether God or death. Perfect. Let's do our second reading. Lord, help us. The book of Jeremiah, the chapter number 17, the verse number 10. The book of Jeremiah 17, the verse number 10. Let's see how God help us tonight. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. That's powerful, right? Yes. Please give me this same in the MSG version. I want us to do multiple versions so we have a deep understanding here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. Wow. Let's do Amplify, please. Powerful. I, the Lord, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. God will help us. God is good. God will help us. Honestly, if I really want to talk about destiny, we may need like 3 months to finish this topic. Because it is deeper than your own expectation. But let's see how God will help us today. So, for a very long time, I believe that some Christians have miscommunicated God's intent concerning destiny. I repeat. For some time now, whenever you make mention of destiny, many people assume that destiny has got to do with a man manifesting his gifts, especially when the future finds him. So, for instance, if somebody becomes whatever he or she feels they were born for in the future, they believe that they are accomplishing destiny. Am I communicating here? So, for instance, somebody becomes rich in life and we say this person was destined to be rich. Somebody gets married to a powerful man, to a powerful lady, and we say that this person was destined to become a powerful person. Now, I want you to know that it is not false, but it is not utterly true. Because the whole idea of God defining destiny is people understanding the life that exists in Christ before they came into being. It's a very deep thing here. I was chanced to have a discussion with a professor, and after I defined destiny, he told me that he has been teaching for the past 18 years, and he has never heard anybody explain with so much simplicity what destiny means. I repeat, the whole idea of destiny does not start with what a man becomes in his future. Praise the Lord. So for instance, I believe that almost every year, the Lord adds something to a man's age, isn't it? People do celebrate their birthdays. And people normally have goals they want to achieve, true of all us. So for instance, when people attain whatever goal they have for themselves, they feel like, okay, I've achieved something in life. And God says, these are all parts that bring to accomplishment his ideas. But the whole idea of destiny has got nothing to do with gifts. The whole idea of destiny is the life that exists in Christ that God gives to partake of. I want you to know that the end of a man is not here on earth. You see, the way people describe destiny as if everything a man will become has got to do with your finished work here. It doesn't work like that. Please look at me. That is why many people don't treat life with caution. Because they have this feeling that just as the way life began on earth, life will end on earth. Hear me. Life never started from the earth. It started from above. Talk to me, somebody. Oh, praise God. So when you are doing things in life, assuming that everything about life has got to do with what I see, you are doomed and dead. So God says destiny has got to do with the life that is at work in Christ Jesus, that through mercy, through grace and intimacy and covenant, he gives you the ability to partake of. Am I communicating, friends? Please, hear this. It's a very deep thing here. Now watch me. I want you to know that the only person that has the power to break what God has said is you. Not even the devil. Did you hear that? Okay. Maybe let me make it more simple here. Florence, come. Stand here for me. Am I communicating, church? Please watch this. I want you to know that when the Lord was desiring to bring about a mission on earth, he knew that he cannot accomplish that mission until a human being gives a representation to that. Because we live in the cosmos and God has given the world to men. Hear me. God's definition for man has got nothing to do with what this lady does on earth. Hear me, please. It's a very deep message. Whatever this lady does on earth, if what she's doing does not align to whatever God planned, there's no way God can define as a human being. Because what God defines as a human being is a man that discovers what God has said. You need to clap your hands. Please hear me. This system that God created for us, he never created it for your own happiness. Your joy in life is not God's burden. Now, this is not to say that God is not happy when men are happy. Of course, God is. But I want you to know that everything about the world system was created to honor God's personality. So if you are not doing what God wants a man to do in order to become the blessing, there's no need for God to have called you as a custodian. Am I teaching here, friends? There are very deep things here. So if God wants to call Florence a human being, it is because something that God perceived in time has been discovered by this lady on earth. And whatever she does align to God's accomplishment. If not, whatever you do is outside the box. So many of you are here. You have succeeded in physical and material matters. And these are elementary matters. And God says, if you come up into heaven, that life has no existence. Because what I intended to do in time, a man could not do it. So if you give birth to a child, it's not a testimony. If the giving birth of the baby is never in alignment to God's plan. Watch me. Am I communicating, friends? You see, most of the things that you are calling blessings, God is even unaware of them. Are you shocked? Most of the things you call miracles,
Jesus Christ is even unaware of them.
You see, if God wants to define blessing, he does not start that definition based on what he gives. He defines what he calls blessing based on what a man becomes. That is why the greatest gift any spirit can give you is presence, not item. So when Jesus was living, he didn't give them what to do to have cars. He gave them his Holy Ghost, whereby they could do whatever he did here on earth. Somebody say destiny. Oh, praise God. So many of you are praying to God, seeking for answers that the Lord has not documented as part of your life. So how do you want God to answer what something he did not create? You see, that is the frustration of many believers. They are so emotional that they think with their senses, not as God desires, but as the flesh wills. Somebody say destiny. Oh, am I preaching here? So never assume that the core definition for destiny has got to do with whatever a man discovers about himself and succeeds in. Sometimes, what you discover about yourself might not be something that was built intrinsically, but even the voice of the environment you grew up from. Oh, God help me. Watch me. The Bible says when Moses turned 40 years old, he realized that whatever identity they called him with was a wrong one. Nobody told Moses he was an Israelite. He knew from his divine perspective that this is who I am. But for 40 years, he felt that whatever I've accomplished was God's plan. So many of you are here. You've succeeded in something you've practiced for 40 years, and heaven has no record of it. Am I communicating? I didn't hear me. You see, if we don't bring you into this understanding, you will not value life. Ah. After we finished Accra invasion, even that of Kumasi, I was on my bed thanking God for such a wonderful presence he gave us. Powerful service. Kumasi, too much. Accra, the people that you saw in the room were not even compared to those outside. God is good. And these were men of God that kept asking that, please, you know, I think it's best you come and stay here in Ghana because we think you would command much impact and respect here in this land. I said, forget. Let destiny speak first. It didn't end there. Now, in the course of Thanksgiving, I saw an angel enter my room with a book and a pen. And I saw the angel marking with the blood of Christ. And I saw 18 boxes and he had ticked 10. And he said that whatever your grandfather couldn't accomplish, he says, we see you accomplishing that. He says, this is the 10th thing we wrote on the paper. He says, there are 8 more left. And he says, for every box I take, he says, it is 5 years compressed as one. Watch me. Watch me. Life was never designed to honor a man's feeling. Did you hear that? Life was never designed to honor a man's wish. Your desires don't have any altar in heaven when what you desire is something God has not made up to give you. That's destiny here. The idea where people have this feeling that, oh, let me do what sits right with me is foolishness. Because when God wants to honor a man's desire, he wants to see how well firm you are in destiny accomplishment. So you may discover why you were created, but you not realizing what God thinks of you is living a life below heaven's standard. How many of you know Saul, not Paul, I mean Saul, the king of Israel? The Bible says for 3 days, he went after looking for the father's lost donkey. Am I right? For how many days? 3 days. He met Prophet Samuel, and Samuel said that you are in search of your father's lost sheep and donkeys, right? But God is looking for a king of Israel. He says, when you go back to your father's house, you realize that the sheep or donkeys have been found. Now, I want you to know that when the man was in search of lost donkey, Jesus was in search of a lost king. Now, if the guy had succeeded finding the sheep, he wouldn't have met the prophet. Oh, does it make sense? If he found the sheep after one day or after a few hours, he wouldn't have met Prophet Samuel to tell him the mind of God. Now, he would have called himself a successful man for looking for a sheep in the desert that has no GPS. And God says, the success is not what you have found. The success is discovering what was said. Oh, am I communicating in church? Now, just because he didn't see the sheep doesn't mean he failed in life. God wanted to show him that there are things that life matters. That if you begin to seek your understanding, you will know that this is who God really is. So many of you are here, you are describing life from a wrong perspective. Sometimes when people come for prayers, you look at them and God tells you things and you're like, why would God say this to you? And he tells you that don't tell them because they are too shallow-minded. He says their feelings will compress the word. And God told me it's a pain when he speaks and a man does not value what he says. Because everywhere God speaks carries God himself. Many people don't know that prophecy is God's direct invitation to intimacy. He gives people access to enjoy his life when he speaks to them. Oh, say destiny here. Oh, am I communicating church? So you see, these days, go on social media. Everybody wants to define life based on how they see it. No, I'm taking my time because I need you to know how deep this is. Everybody would wake up and they want to create plans based on what their heart tells them. And they tell you that in life, since we are all human beings, there will be strengths and weaknesses. We are born as imperfect people. So let's do what we think it is. Don't worry. That language exists among people that have no future. You didn't hear me? If Jesus had lived in our days, you would say that dying at 33 is a short life lived. Meanwhile, according to the book of destiny, at 33, he has finished something that eternity can't even think of. The achievement was not the age. The honor was not the age. The honor was the ability to bring back life that people took into oblivion. The question is, who are you? You see, if at this point of your life, the Lord can't open your understanding to know who you are, it's a proof that your existence has not come up to him. Because there are many believers today who assume that miracles are proof of God's trust. God will not communicate trust by giving you a miracle. He communicates trust by showing you heeder. You didn't hear me? Am I communicating? Yesterday, I was having a discussion with my father. And daddy told me how God told him to stop listening to certain preachers. Now, if you are a carnal man, you would think that daddy is just blabbing. You know blabbing? Just talking anyhow. Because these people that God told him not to listen to are people that our current world would define as the foremost Christians who are commanding impeccable results. You don't want to hear their names. These are people that they have power over their airwaves. When they cough, somebody will say, Kai Rema, mystery. Hello? Now, these people are not saying anything strange. They are speaking the best of vocals anybody will want to listen to. And you see, their results just don't resonate in the four corners of the church. In the economic standard, they are having powerful impact there. And God says, dare not listen to them. The question is God against what they are saying or against their personality? And God told me that in covenant he restricts what a man hears. In covenant he restricts what a man sees. In covenant he restricts where a man enters. Because all these things, they form alliance with nature to fight a man's life. Because a covenant man is a man God hides. And if the enemy should get such a man, generations will fall off. Do you know why? Because sometimes impact is not what you see. Sometimes impact is what a man stands to command in the spirit. I'm telling you. You see, if you are lived in the days of Jesus Christ, you would have thought that Simon the high priest was not relevant. Because he didn't have social media relevance. Yet Jesus says that there's no way I could become who I am today if this man didn't lay hands on me. Certain gifts are best hidden. Am I communicating, friends? I want you to know that you were never created to do what you feel. That is why at this point of your life, if all you have are physical achievements, go and think twice. Because there's nothing in life anybody has gotten that somebody has not gotten before. Is it house? Is it car? Are it children? No. What is it about your life somebody has not seen before? Come on. I was telling the lady how I went to a program and then the pastor began raising funds from $10,000. I said, in Ghana here, who give that money? I saw people kept coming out. I said, bros, did he say 10,000 CDs or? I said, no, $10,000. I said, Kima Hamana Katuvalaba. God is good. He says, you have to give it here. I said, yeah. Oh, it's Friday evening here. I saw people entering their cars. Say, hey, Pato. God is here. Am I coming here? So there's nothing new you do. You see, it is new to you because you are new to it. Oh, yeah. Heaven and more over higher. Oh, true for us. It is new to you because you are new to it. But the person that made you call God is never shocked. Then he says, the only thing that can honor God is your obedience to his voice. Is that powerful? Right. Clap your hands, church. Yes. Everything. Right. Somebody say destiny. All right. Now, look at Abraham in the Bible. How do you serve an idol for 25 years? And then the good God comes to tell you that I want to honor you and make you great. But the first thing I want you to do is to leave your father's house. It doesn't make sense. How is it that somebody who wants to give you a better option would start his own option by giving you something that people wouldn't want to do? The question is, how do you leave a house you've lived in for 5 years? How? And God told him that as you are leaving this house, you are saying goodbye to your father and mother. You will see them again. Am I communicating here? God told Abraham that never you return back to your father's house again. The Bible says he worked for 25 solid years. I told you before that he had no physical Bible. Well, among the Jews, they call it Torah. There was no Torah. There was no synagogue, no church. Damascus Christian Church, you know. Pentecost, no church. Yet, the Bible says that it was so deep in the spirit that God had to depend on a man's discernment to call him my friend. You see, God doesn't just have integrity, his integrity. Oh, I get it, me. He doesn't have his integrity. If you want to define integrity, it's a God. And he calls a former idol worshiper my friend. He never studied, never meditated. He says, what I hear, I do as God says. And he actually saw God's goodness after 25 years. And even at the end of 25 years, can you imagine that God told him, bring your son. And sacrifice your son. You see, sometimes, the way we define life
God sit up in heaven and laughs at us. Because you see, study whatever God said about the life of the Petrites. It was always about every secret about people that they were able to live in the normal days. Now I'm telling you, watch me. Success has got nothing to do with the things you attain or achieve. Success begins in the spirit when a man becomes who God says. Identity is success. Discovery is success. Achievements, they are the proofs of success. Whatever you achieve is a proof of a pattern observed. But that thing has to fall in alignment with God himself. If not, you're out of order. Watch me. If God would want to award a man in heaven, he will begin with the things about yourself you discovered before righteousness. Let me break it down for you. Why are you blessed already? Talk to me, Jesus. Are you blessed already? Okay. Let me use this lady as an example here. Are you blessed, friends? Let's say our lady here gets married by next year. She said, amen. God is good. Let's say Lady Florence get married by next year. Praise God. Now, we will all clap and say hallelujah. Am I right? God has done you well, true of us. At least you have finally found a man that God has given to you. We'll thank God for your life. And you see, at that time, some of the mothers will forget their spiritual. And they want to focus on whatever it is, true of us. You are 30 years old, 31, 33. You have to get married. At least, when will your children grow? As if, when your children, you have to give birth early so they can grow up with you. Can't you see me and your father? No, they have this cultural sentiment they use. They might be good, but don't get me wrong. Now watch this. God is only expected to validate that union marriage when God brought them out here. Because marriage is not what you choose, but who God brings. You didn't hear me? Did you hear me? What brought you into the union of the life you have today is because God became one with Jesus and the Son. So it's got to do with the spirit God brings to you. Because every human being you meet has a container. They have a spirit on the inside. It is not what they do that makes them who they are. It's the spirit in them that defiles them. God, I wish I had time today. Oh, praise God. So just imagine, you see, most of the things you have today, you didn't know that you applied basic principles that works with life. And because you wouldn't want to be the one to call yourself the miracle worker, you want to acknowledge God for that. And God says yes, but I'm only expected to accord a miracle when it falls in destiny. Am I teaching you? So many people have veered off the party life. All because whatever they started, God was never in motion. Please, even if you didn't hear what I said today, write one word for me. A miracle begins with an identity. Every true miracle comes to bring a man into the place of identity. Am I communicating? Please, hear me, friends. You see, whatever it is about your life that God didn't write, the enemy wrote it. Even if it is good. Watch me. Both spirits depend on people to find expression. The devil needs man. God needs man. Oh, yeah. So even if you don't know what is using you, something is using you. Something has to use you to become a human being. So if it is not God using you, then something else. Tell someone the prophet is back. Oh, God is. I'm telling you. So, you see, we are defining things, and God says, but these people did not know whatever it is about their life they're doing. Days of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were gays and lesbians. It's not now. Yes. When there was no media, there were men liking men. Yes. Oh, did you hear that? I was somewhere, someone said, man of God, why is that people don't like you? I said, do I care if they like me or not? I don't know. They didn't like Jesus. I mean, do you know that? I don't know if here, well, I see everywhere. In Ghana now, I see certain organizations, you know, flighting and hoisting the homosexual flag. Yeah. They are flying it now. You go to some offices and they tell you that I'm a Freemason. Do you a Freemason? When they join this lodge thing, the occult thing, and they will tell you that we don't kill human beings here. It's more about, you know, goodwill, protection, connections. And then you ought to publicly affirm that you're a Freemason. And they're not hiding it again. It's very common. So almost all the lawyers in Ghana I know today, if they become powerful, they have to give you that connection. And they still go to churches. And some are elders in churches.
Wow.
I praise God. So there's nothing new under the sun. Like I said, unless it's new to you. But remember that if God wants to take a man higher, he begins that journey with you by telling you who you are. You see, if God can't open a man's understanding about who you are, there's no way you can enact covenant. Because covenant begins when what you know about yourself is right. Say destiny. Let me end by saying this. We'll continue next week. Are you blessed already? Watch me. Let me show you three things you can do to discover destiny. I made you understand that destiny has got nothing to do with what a man becomes in the future. Did you hear that? I said, it's got nothing to do with the gift a man manifests. Giftings are part of the hallmark that make destiny work. But the whole thing about destiny, life in Christ, God, I want to accomplish. Watch me. I wish I had time. Watch me, friends. Whatever we do on earth, must execute God's purpose. Did you hear that? Whatever I do, whatever Florence does, whatever my father does, it must come together to make God's work complete. Did you hear that? Okay. You see the five fingers? They're different, right? But they all have to come together to make the hand work. Two of us. When there's no finger here, some way, somehow, I might not function. Two of us. Ah. So I want you to know that whatever you see about a human body is a definition for destiny. Or am I communicating? Now, how many of you pray to use your hand to do something? Unless maybe you are greeting a witch. Say, God, please protect my hands in this name as I'm greeting. God is good. I mean, there is this intrinsic thing in you that your hand can do anything, am I right? You don't have to pray to see. It's something natural. You don't know how heavy a human's body is until life leaves that body. God is good. I'm telling you. A lady gave us a testimony. We couldn't take testimonies in Ghana. She came on a wheelchair. And she was up there. So when I declared healing, they said after we finished the conference, the person that brought her forgot she came in a wheelchair. And we are all leaving. We had to leave there because people came from every place. So it's like, how can the man of God finish such a powerful service and the person forget that? She brought me in a wheelchair and said, let this English speak for me. She began to walk. God is good. When I saw the weight of this, I'm like, so somebody could carry you and put you in a wheelchair. Praise God. You see, whenever the Lord speaks to you about what to follow, you, the person obeying the word of God, you might not know what you're doing. It is left to God's intelligence to actually tell you what it is. That is why God names men after their actions will be. Every name you see that a man bears in the spirit is to tell you whatever a man represents. No, your name can sound good in the ears of man and still sound strange to spirits up there in heaven. How do I discover destiny? Have a seat, please.
How do I discover destiny? Three things. What do I do to know that this is what God has called me for? What do I do to know that this is something God wants me to live by, so I don't live out of wishes or emotions? How do I know that whatever I'm doing is in fulfilling destinies? How sure am I that what I'm doing is not something I think is right, but something God has said? Hear me. I hear people say, I may not have to pray for too long to have answers. Sometimes, the things I whisper, God shows me mercy by giving me miracles. Okay, it is very true. Sometimes, in certain situations, the mercy of the Lord would actually come upon your life to make certain declarations and works for you. That doesn't mean that every day of your life should be built on whispering to God. Talk to me, somebody. Oh, hello. Just because he showed you mercy once doesn't mean he wants to build on our patterns. Talk to me, somebody. So some believers may not want to pray. They may only want to whisper to God. The day you feel that, let me whisper to God again, that answer will not be there. I'm telling you. It's like a woman who doesn't know how to cook and always allow your friends to come and cook for your husband. The day your friends won't be there, you'll be like, please, let's go to KFC. Are you blessed? Okay, so the first thing God wants us to do in discovering destiny, the first thing that God wants us to do in discovering destiny is to ask the Lord about ourselves. Are you aware that it is the vastness of the question that will determine the purity of your answers? Oh, yeah. You don't start discovering destiny by discovering giftings. Whatever gift you have is what God has given to you. Because the world in which you live in responds to a man's gift. The Bible never said the gift will open you before God, open before kings and queens. It's here on earth. But I want you to know that sometimes it might even be a passing over onto your life based on whoever's lived right. But God says, in view of who you are, God says, ask of him, who am I? And that is a question everybody's asking. I hear a lot of people talking about how to discover themselves by seeking and looking on their inside where they can do best. It's not bad, but that shouldn't be the first step in discovering who you are. God must validate and tell you what he thinks of you. Eh? It is an agony when a man bears an untold story. Oh, yes. It's a pain when a man carries an untold story on their inside. So the best way to know who you are is to ask God, what has God said? See, you will know what God thinks of people based on how they live their life. Don't allow anybody who has not journeyed on your path teach you how to walk in life. Oh, yes. Just imagine somebody who doesn't understand what life means and then they are teaching you how to walk in life. And that life has no honor. Till date. It is easier for someone to pray seeking for testimonies than to ask God, who am I? Watch me. The things you pray about don't need energy. The things you pray about need intimacy. There are things that will easily flow from you when God knows what to do is in honor of what he has said. Am I communicating, friends? Yes. How many of you joined our session yesterday? No, let me say this morning. You joined, right? Did you hear Esther's testimony from Maryland? My God. Powerful testimony. You see, the grace you don't honor, you don't deserve that grace. I'm telling you. It's there. You can be around a gifted man and you will not benefit anything. And that's what God's concerned to. I mean, after the testimony, a pastor John said, man of God, I refuse to be your friend today. He says, with what I'm hearing, God, I refuse to be your friend. There's something I need from you. He said, I'll have to distance myself because I need these giftings. The lady said she sat for an exam because she's into nursing. And Americans, their course is very difficult. I don't know why.
So she was told that if you fail two times, you are out of the course. And she had to attain the mark 90. The first mark, she got 71. Second, 76. So she failed. So she had to talk about God answering people's exams papers. And she was laughing that the way this man of God is prophesying about this issue, I think maybe God is speaking to me. So she sent me a text after the service. Yeah, Papa, it has happened to me. I failed this course and that. And God told me to tell her that she should take a cup of water. She will drink the water. When she sends an email to the teachers, the Holy Ghost would whisper to their ears. Now, even though she's not speaking, hers is drink the water and then send a message to them. They sent a message thinking that they'll be like, please, we don't want to hear your case again. They were like, please, we are very sorry. We want to give you another chance to write the exams. They gave her a chance to write the exams. Instead of getting 90, she got 80. What is happening? She sent me a message again, and I said, in Dominion, we don't fail. So she said, God, let me leave this matter. The next day, she went on the system, wanted to check her results again. It was not 91. She asked, what? Who came to add 11 to my grade? They were like, Esther, please, we just checked your results, and you have passed. Now, she says in her mind, she knows she has 80. But when they gave her the paper, they wrote 91. She says, I'm asked, who added 11 to it? God is good. Hello? You see, watch me. When God is with a man, he does what is unimaginable. You didn't hear me. When God is with a man, he does what is unimaginable. You see, things you can't perceive, he does it. Because he wants to be the one to take the glory alone. God told me. He says, young man, if there's any testimony anybody wants to share on the day of their death, it should be about they dying as a message of their world. So the first key in discovering destiny is to ask the Lord who you are. Lord, who am I? And I bet you, many believers here have not asked that question. They only looked on their inside to say, Kai, since I'm good at drawing, let me draw. It's not bad. But there should be a confirmation from divine himself. There has to be God telling you who you are. Check your Bible. God did not start the journey with anybody until he told them who they were. Jeremiah, never call yourself a child. Because when you were little in the womb of your mother, I, God, ordained you. Please give me Jeremiah 1 verse 5. I ordained you as a prophet. So when the woman was carrying the fetus, God was seeing a prophet. Am I communicating? God told Abraham, I have called you as the father of all. You see, if God doesn't give you the knowledge of who you are, life would cause you to function as though there's nobody in you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Because the knowledge you have about yourself changes how you think. There's a way you live your life based on who you are. You should learn to tarry in prayer to ask God who you are. And if that answer has not come, tarry. I'm telling you. If not, you will look at life and call life and say, you see, this life, we've lived it before. I was interviewing one lady in Ghana. Powerful interview. So I got there. I don't know how people see young men of God. They have this feeling that if you don't have white beard, you're not sensible. Strange. So I got there. The policemen were saying, this guy is very flamboyant. The lady wanted to embarrass with English as English. When I came from Europe. When I came from Init, I just came out from USA. God is good. After 3 seconds, I said, "Madam, you are wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong." He said, "Hey, Akwanachimi, the guy has." Now, you realize that this lady is sitting behind the screen and there's nothing in her head. And so confident in giving advice. I'm like, gullible ladies will follow what she's saying. Gullible, they will just follow what she's saying because to them, they claim the hallmark or the zenith of success is to be famous. Number two, amen, I have time. When God tells you who you are, when God opens your understanding for you to know who you are, because you see, God will confirm in many ways. It can come through dreams, it can come through visions, it can come through, it can come in so many ways. That is why in life, you should do whatever it takes to protect your peace. Do you know why? Because when a man has sound mind, you command authority. You see, you can do much when you have peace. Oh, true of us. That is why you must be hard on yourself to disconnect from anything or anybody who will not contribute to your peace in life. Number two, when God shows you who you are, when he opens your understanding about who you are, you ought to go asking God, what do I do to enter covenant with you? So the second thing that helps men discover destiny is called covenant. He backs every word by a covenant. He backs every assignment with covenant. Please watch me. Now, this is not to sound like God is biased. But hear this. Everybody here who believes in Christ Jesus as the Lord and personal Savior automatically has the honor of being called the child of God. But I want you to know that that confirmation does not award a man with destiny until covenant set in. Whatever you know about Christ today is only possible because you confessed him as Lord and personal Savior. That kind of covenant does not bring a man into destiny awareness. It only gives you the ability to know who God is to you as a person. But when God wants to distinguish a man, he has to enter into covenant with you that even you, the man, may not understand why God tells you to do these things. So study your Bible. I believe there were a lot of men that were as handsome as Samson in the Bible. Am I right? Yet, what distinguished the man from others was the covenant God entered. Am I communicating, church? God told him that as long as your hair remains intact on your head, then I'll be your God. But the day you cut off these locks, you lose the essence of humanity. Now watch me. I want you to know that people guide their lives based on the things God tells them to do. You didn't hear me, church? Oh, did you hear that? Every human being, you will know the covenant you have based on the things God tells you to do and not to do. If you are open to the public to do everything, God says you are a weak man. Because in covenant, whatever you do adds or subtracts. These words are deep. Am I communicating? Okay. Can I open your understanding here? Do you know you can go somewhere and God will tell you, don't eat what everyone is eating? Or do you believe that? Do you believe that? But not today's members we have in the church. I didn't say this church, I mean the church. Not to these Christians. Let me say so. Hi. They will eat pork. They will eat goat. And get chicken on top. I say, Kai, I need stalaga beer. Cold wine. It's called mortuary. Cold. I want to step down. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Say, make we cheat. What's life? What are you life? I was in Cameroon last year. Where we stayed is for fraud boys. So I don't boy after that side. I forgot the place. Where? Molokun, yeah. One parish is there. One big parish. I'm still behind the place. Very nice place. So I was there in shorts. I saw some guys coming. Oh boy, Ava. I don't know. Oh boy, Ava. How in a day? I said, good. So maybe because they saw me with an iPad, they were like, oh, maybe the guy is doing the same thing too. The guys went up there and came down with their beer thing. God is good. I think at that time the boys were sleeping. I was just there studying. They're like, oh, bros, well, you know, have some drink. I closed my eyes. I said, who is Simon? The guy said, boy, are you a pastor or what? God is good. I told the guy that the beer he has been poisoned. He gave to the cat and the cat died. Hello? You see, that's my message. When God wants to honor a man's life, not just in present state, but even in the future relevance that God has a man to command, he tells you what to do, the things to stay off. Do you know Levites in the Bible? These were the priests that served God in the synagogue. God had to make them different from everybody. He says, as for you, don't go there. Stay here. Yours is stay in the house and keep the fire burning so that the fire does not go down, because the fire stands for my presence. If the fire should go down, depart from you guys. So this is make sure you don't sleep. So be doing change, shifting hours, because every blessed day, the fire must be burning. Yours is stay in God's house. Every instruction that God wants them to be, says, stay here. You see, God identifies men by the things he tells them to do. I like that. Number three, and prayer. Are you blessed, friends? Why are you blessed? The third thing you do in discovering destiny, the third thing God wants everyone to do, and it's something that many believers have not put into consideration yet. And I bet you, if you would give attention to these things, God will change you in so many ways. The third thing to do in discovering yourself or destiny is to go for knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. Knowledge is so powerful. Nah. Not just any kind of knowledge. Knowledge that adds value. Let me say so. Because there are certain information you receive and then it detaches you from life. Useful, impactful, destiny-oriented informations. Knowledge that gives you credibility before the king himself. Knowledge. Watch me. Many believers know what they want, but they don't know what to do to manifest what they want in reality. Having the ability to have a wish and not having what it takes to bring it to pass is a proof of how ignorant you are. God has never honored a man's desire. Having a desire, having a wish, does not add up to a man's resume in heaven until God sees the place of kingdom knowledge. Watch me. Christians are passionate in serving God. They know they love God. And they have this feeling that just because I love God, God must give me what I want. And God says, no. You can love me and still not know what to do. Because in receiving what you want, you have to follow something. There are things I'll tell you to follow. Talk to me, church. Blind Bartimaeus felt, since I have spoken and told God what my complaints are, God should heal me. And God says, no. The first part is telling me what you want. But the second part is do what I see. Talk to me, church. It was after he obeyed God. And God says, now you can see. Am I communicating, friends? You see, everything that happens to men follows a pattern called knowledge. We can know the results you want to command based on what you know about God. Oh, yes. So when daddy asks us to pray for knowledge, many people would think because we didn't pray against witches, we won't pray against. We there.
When you are less knowledgeable, you have less impact. Oh, you didn't hear me, friends. Your life can never be bigger than your knowledge level. Whatever it is about your life is as a result of what you know. It's as simple as that. What you don't know cannot work for you. You won't even know what to do. I'm telling you, friends. Don't tell me I came to meet life. So let me live life as it is. Life has never been lived in honor of a man's feeling. And I called people to respect them. No. We will know how powerful you are based on the accomplishment that man receives in kingdom. Yes. God's word, you know. At age 12, Jesus Christ went to the synagogue to study. 12. He challenged the elders in the synagogue at 12. The word that they were preaching from the Torah came as a person to learn. So you see, it's pitiful when believers close their Bible and they read once. If you're here and the quotation you read in the name of wanting to learn God or learn the Bible are the informations that your Bible app gives you, you are a doomed believer. That quotation your Bible gives you and say John 1:1. In the beginning was the word and the world. Some believers today post quotation on their WhatsApp in the name of the bread. And they put hand, you know, hand, like prayer. Am I communicating, friends, here? Oh, yeah. You see, the last time I made you understand that, you can easily do Bible studies when you know what you're looking for. Talk to me, friends. Can I help you here? Oh, can I help you here? Give me 2 minutes. Whenever you talk about prophets in the Bible, there are two prophets. They are the major prophets and the minor prophets. Now, the major prophets wrote more letters. The minor wrote lesser scriptures. Am I communicating? So Isaiah was called a major prophet, not because of influence and affluence, but just because he wrote more letters. Obadiah is called a minor prophet because he wrote lesser scriptures. True or false? Everything about the man's mission was written in the book of Obadiah 1. Am I right? Now, do you know you cannot command deliverance if you don't quote Obadiah 1 verse 17? Talk to me, somebody. Am I right? You can make mention of Jesus, who is the man that God has called to bring for deliverance, but its root is found in Obadiah. Talk to me, church. So if you want to have a deeper understanding of how the prophet operates, God says, go and study how they operate. But if you come into the Christ life wanting to know the benefit in serving God, God says, study 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Because when Christ lived as a person on earth, one person he God called the beloved was John the brother. So even though everybody had the chance of partaking of his blood, John had the power to live in God. He was the only man of God that God would let him be arrested and placed in Patmos, the island, to die. And God says, let me show you deeper revelations. Every preacher, every apostle gave prophecy about the end time. But somebody that gave us vivid explanation of heaven, of hell, the end time, was John the Beloved. Am I communicating here? Now watch me. Theologians believe that the book of Ephesians is one of the most powerful books Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. It talks about what the church should do. Remember, the church is not a building, but a person. So if God says you are the church, God says then study Ephesians. It gives you how God wants to see the church operate. See Bible studies. But some of you are here, you open your Bibles. Give me a Bible, please. You close your Bible and say, Father, in the name of Jesus. I don't know what to read. So as I read, anywhere I open, it should be all God has said. Be there. The fan in your room will give you a quotation. Just imagine the fan telling you that. God is good. And some will believe that God has told them to. Come on. Are you blessed already? Watch me. In accomplishing destiny, do away with a lot of cultural sentiment. Did you hear that? In accomplishing destiny, do away with what? A lot of cultural sentiment. You see, the average African man is wired with a lot of culture. You understand that? They wouldn't want to give heed to kingdom just because they feel comfortable where things were born with. No. Nah. In Zion, where you come from does not matter. What matters where you stand. The power of words.
Am I communicating, friends? Yes. That was what God had to do in the place of Jesse. Jesse felt, since we are all Jews, the firstborn should be the king. And God says, no, I choose who I want to honor. That's why I give this quotation that God wants to honor people based on their rewards and how he leads their life. Not what they pray to be like. So, you see, you would know how impactful knowledge is when you are able to fight what makes you comfortable, what you're supposed to know. Sometimes your enemy might be what you know. Sometimes your enemy might be what you know. You need to fight what you know to command what God has preordained for you. That is why everything about your life should contribute to where you're going in life. Dr. Poynancha said when God told him he's going to fill stadiums, God told him that he should go on Google, download the pictures from the largest crusades from his mentor. His mentor is called Reverend Bonke. Now, Bonke was the only man of God that could gather 2 million people in Nigeria. 2 million people. So one time he had to go get the pictures of the man's crusade. He says he pasted it everywhere and go to him every morning, stand by the pictures and declare and say, his time will also come. God is good. A few years ago, we heard how the Lord used him to build, at that time, the biggest church. Praise God. Now, I think Wembley should take about 90,000. I think so. Am I wrong? I think so. Am I correct? Perfect. So Wembley sits about 90,000 people. And this church was created to accommodate 100,000 people. So every Sunday, he's talking to stadium members. Did you hear that? Every Sunday, stadium. Now, there's a man of God called Pastor E. Adeboye. He's doing a conference in Nigeria. And they counted about 1.2 million people. So when he shouts, hallelujah! Before he talks, he has to wait for them to say, amen, 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 amen. Something takes about 10 minutes for the amen to finish. Oh, God is good. Because if you talk too fast, they will not hear what you are saying. God is good. Now, sometimes to go from one end to one end, you need a car. God is good. And you realize that all the things they are commanding today, God told them years ago. And you realize consistency in acknowledging what God wants them to know, give them honor in life. Tell somebody what you know.
Thank you, and God bless you for listening to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjo. Don't forget to share with us how this message has been a blessing to you and your family on +324 920904 54 or email us at office@benjaminfodjo.org. Follow Prophet Benjamin on Facebook, YouTube, podcast at Prophet Benjamin Fodjo. On Instagram is Benjamin_Fodjo. Twitter is SeniorBenjaminFodjo. And on website is www.benjaminfodjo.org. Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjo. The vision, the mission, the passion.